No more guessing. The Blue Jackets are in the playoffs. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Thomas Bradley. This is After the Score.
Welcome to After the Score from WOSU Public Media. I'm Steve Brown here with Thomas Bradley. This week, Thomas sits down with Buckeye legend Archie Griffin for his reaction to news that Northwestern football players can form a labor union.
And later, Steve and I talk current Buckeye football. We'll look at some of the most interesting storylines heading into this weekend's spring game.
But first, the Columbus Blue Jackets first came to Nationwide Arena in 2000, and it's been a tough road to hoe most of the time. The team has made the playoffs just once. That's until this season. The team this week clinched its second ever playoff berth. For reaction, we spoke with Columbus Dispatch beat writer Aaron Portsline. Aaron, quite a feat for the Blue Jackets. They're in the playoffs now for just the second time ever. I wanted to start with a couple sound bites. First, head coach Todd Richards speaking with reporters just after the team clinched a playoff spot.
You know, it's hard to think right now. And just because right now I just feel fatigued and tired. I think it's just the emotions of everything. The ups and downs that we've had over the last, well, really all season, but the ups and downs over the last probably 2 weeks. And it's a great accomplishment for our team, for our guys. But again, to me, it's just the first step. This is, and when we set out back in September, the first thing that we talked about was, you know, winning the Stanley Cup, but you got to make the playoffs. So this is just the first step.
And that was basically the same sentiment as center Brandon Dubinsky.
You know, it's a great feeling. You know, you play this game for the opportunity to win the Stanley Cup, and, you know, we've made the first step towards doing that. You know, only 16 teams make the dance, and we're one of those, and, you know, sky's the limit for this group, and I think that, you know, that should be our goal, and that will remain our goal, and you know, we got to get in there on a high note and make sure when we get there that, you know, we're on top of our game.
So no more predictions needed from you, Aaron. The Blue Jackets are in, and this just has to be a huge step for the franchise.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. And I can't help but think back to just two seasons ago when this team was at the absolute abyss. I mean, there were players wanting out of town. They were the last place team in the league. It seemed a hopeless situation to have it turn around so quickly. And of course it started last season with an incredible finish. They almost got into the playoffs last year. There has been such a turnaround in this franchise. It's really remarkable to see. And it's a credit, you know, the players of course have taken a lot of that on themselves to turn the situation around. They are responsible. They have taken on the weight of doing nothing less than changing the culture, changing the outlook, the approach to the NHL team in Columbus, that it, for them, it's not enough to just be here and to have a franchise and isn't that great. They want to be a team, a franchise that expects to be in the playoffs every year. But for qualify this year, huge step forward. And now they work on the rest of it, which is actually winning a playoff game.
Let's take a second for a sigh of relief for the Blue Jackets. They are in the playoffs, but work is not done yet. They are in a three-team race with Philadelphia themselves and the Red Wings. Four spots in the playoffs, really. The Red Wings are sitting at 91 points. The Blue Jackets are sitting at 91 points. Ideally, they'd like to play the Rangers in that first round, but what do these next couple days look like for the Blue Jackets?
Yeah, well, as it stands today, they would play the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. They are 0-5 against the Penguins this year. Now, the Penguins have a lot of pressure on them, and there's a lot of people who want to see this team go in the playoffs this year. Their goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury, was pulled last year in the playoffs for a really poor performance and never got back in again. So there's a lot of question marks surrounding the Penguins in the regular season. Still, it looks like a tough matchup for the Blue Jackets. They would prefer to play the Rangers in the first round, and what a matchup that would be. With Rick Nash and all of the former Blue Jackets playing for the Rangers, Brandon Dubinsky and all of the former Rangers now playing for the Blue Jackets. To get there, to play the Rangers, they would have to catch Philadelphia. The Flyers have an extra game in hand, so they have three games to play. Columbus has two games to play. And in an odd situation, Columbus is traveling today from Dallas to Tampa Bay, and they will be in Tampa Bay tonight to see the Flyers, who they're trying to catch, play the Lightning. And then tomorrow they will play the Lightning. So tonight is a big game for the Blue Jackets, even though they're not playing.
What's the sentiment down there in Nationwide Arena? Is it there's much more of a buzz? The fans are really excited?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, you know, there's always around a team that has struggled like this through the years, there's always this sense of something of doom, that something's going to go wrong. Where, you know, even in the last couple of days now, it started to look really optimistic that they were going to make the playoffs. And yet people were still not wanting to emotionally expose themselves to that because they feared disappointment yet again. I get the sense that this city has waited, just playing competitive hockey for the last 100-plus games, which they've done. This is the most sustained stretch of success the Blue Jackets have ever had. But people are waiting for a playoff berth. They're waiting for physical proof that this team is for real, and now they've got it. An interesting fact here, the Blue Jackets have decided they're going to limit sales for the first-round playoff series. The first 4 days, they can only be purchased by those ticket buyers who have a credit card with an Ohio mailing address. The attempt there, of course, is to limit ticket sales to Pittsburgh. If you've been to any of the Penguins Blue Jackets games in Nationwide, it's easy to forget what city you're in because there's been so many Penguins fans. This is an attempt to give Columbus fans, Blue Jackets fans, and really Ohio hockey fans a chance to buy those tickets and keep Nationwide feeling more like a Blue Jackets home rink than a Pittsburgh Penguins home rink.
And to be fair, there are too many Pittsburgh fans in Ohio anyway. Any sport, no matter what sport we're talking about.
Well, that's the thing. There is that, yeah. And a lot of those fans, I mean, let's be honest, the Penguins were in the basement and had nobody going to their games in the mid-2000s. And then they drafted, what was that guy? Oh, right, Sidney Crosby. And now, of course, that is the big ticket there. The interesting thing is these are not, a lot of these people coming to games in Nationwide, they're not coming from Pittsburgh. As it has been said by the Blue Jackets fans and players, they live among us. They're actually here. You just don't see them sometimes until the game.
Kind of like the mumps.
Exactly.
Like you said at the beginning of the conversation, the Blue Jackets franchise has a long way to go. On contrast, the Red Wings last night just clinched their playoff spot for the 23rd consecutive year. Obviously, they're probably a little disappointed that they're fighting for a 7 or 8 seed right now while the Jackets are rejoicing and yelling it from the mountaintop. So there is a long way to go for this franchise.
Yeah, 23 years in a row is incredible. To me, that's so far out there that I don't know that any real franchise that even aspires to that because it's seen as such a, I mean, that's an entire generation, really. If you think of it, there's, I want to say, 5 or 6 players on the Blue Jackets who, in their entire lifetime, the Red Wings have made the playoffs every year. That's pretty remarkable. You know, honestly, the Red Wings are probably delighted to be in the playoffs with all of the injuries they've had today or this season. They have been absolutely gutted. Zetterberg, Datsyuk, all of their best players at one time or the other have been injured this season. For them to be in it again is quite the accomplishment.
We've been talking about the Blue Jackets' second ever playoff berth with Columbus Dispatch beat reporter Aaron Portsline. Aaron, thanks again.
My pleasure, guys.
With news that Northwestern football players are allowed to unionize, I decided to talk to former Ohio State football legend, the only 2-time Heisman Trophy winner in football history, Archie Griffin, to get a player's perspective on the issue. We covered the issue last week with athletic director Gene Smith, but as you are aware, a decision has been made to allow some college football players at Northwestern to unionize. Pending appeals from the university, what does this mean for these players and frankly, the rest of college athletics?
Well, you know, this is an issue that's been talked about a long, long time, and so it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that this has come up. It's an issue that people have been, concerned about. And basically what it boils down to is student welfare, what's best for the student athlete and their experience at their university. But, you know, it's something that's been talked about for a long time, and it's something that everybody is interested in. College athletics, especially the big sports, football and basketball, have really, really taken off from a money standpoint, and it's kind of gone way past what amateurism really is, and what really is the definition of amateurism. So it's a subject we've been talking about. All I can tell you is this. There probably is going to be some changes. How those changes will come about, that's a good question for everybody to ponder.
Mr. Smith was wary of throwing out the idea of giving student athletes paychecks, but he was very in support of increasing compensation for them. Is that a view you share with him?
Oh, absolutely, no question about it. And you know, as I speak to you today, let's be clear about one thing. I am not speaking as a university representative. I'm speaking from my experiences as a former player, a former athlete that's played at all divisions and all levels of football, whether it's little league, whether it's high school, whether it's college or pro. So I don't want you to make any mistake about that from where I'm coming from. But yeah, I agree with Mr. Smith in regards to athletes receiving more, and I think that's really what it boils down to. A lot of people want to categorize it as athletes being paid, and my whole thing on that is that, yeah, it's athletes getting more. Athletes getting more of what they deserve to get. Keeping up with the times from an NCAA standpoint, and all I've ever really talked about was cost of attendance, and that's really, to me, what it's all about. I mean, we have folks here at our university that get scholarships that include cost of attendance, and my whole thing with that is that I feel that athletes, and I, when I say athletes, I say all athletes who are on scholarship deserve to be paid up to cost of attendance. Some people may want to categorize that as a being paid a paycheck, but I'm not crazy about the school and employees type of situation either. But I do feel that they deserve more, and I felt that way for a long, long time.
Like you mentioned, I can't think of anyone better who would know what it's like to be a student athlete at a major university. You two-time Heisman Trophy winner, played at Ohio State. You know what it's like. You know that this feels like a full-time job to be a football player. Is that what it is? Does it feel like a full-time job on top of being a student?
Well, I think it does feel like a full-time job for the student athletes. There's no question about it. Even more of a full-time job than even during the times that I played. One of the things that I always enjoyed during the time that I played is that we had a lot of breaks. I mean, when you got home from the bowl game, you got a good break before you started into your winter conditioning, which was probably 3 hours a week, really. When you think about it, we had to go in three times a week for about an hour to an hour and a half. And then you went at a break between that and spring ball. And once you finished spring ball, you know, you were off until your summer practice began. Now, they'd let you off. They'd give you a workout that they wanted you to do. A lot of athletes would go home and get summer jobs in their hometowns and then come back in August and ready to go to work. And you'd have to come back. You'd have to pass a test, a physical conditioning test. And then once you pass that physical conditioning test, you were ready to go to work for the season. And so there were breaks there that allowed us to have time to do things that we wanted to do. Matter of fact, you know, I would always make sure that I had a good summer job, and that was good to have. But I would always do my workouts, the workouts that they would give me. But now, when you think about it, most of these schools have athletes stay around and work out, you know, with the, you know, strength and conditioning coaches and whatnot, and they don't really get that break that they need, and it's really kind of difficult for them to get out and get jobs in the summer the way that it used to be. And not saying that you got to go back to how it used to be, because that's one of the problems we have right now. We've got so many rules from the NCAA that are old and archaic and should be done away with. And that, to me, is part of the problem.
You mentioned spring practice as part of your training regimen. Ohio State is in spring practice right now. I don't know if you've had a chance to head down and see some of their practices, but what do you expect and what have you seen from this 2014 Ohio State team?
Well, I think, you know, with a coach like Urban Meyer and this staff, I think we'll be good again. There's no question in my mind. I think that we've got outstanding talent on our football team and in our football program. And I think because of that talent and because of the coaching staff that we have here, they're going to put out on the field a tremendous product that all Buckeyes are proud of.
Archie, for people that don't know, you are president of the Alumni Association at Ohio State. What kind of work has your office been doing lately?
Well, my job mainly is to try and keep alumni engaged in the life of the university, and we do that in a lot of different ways. We have a club program where we have over 200 clubs around the country. Those clubs do things such as raise money for scholarships for students in their areas to come to Ohio State. They do community projects in the name of Ohio State. They do football game watches and basketball game watches and all kind of things to bring alumni in those particular areas together. It's a wonderful group of people that love Ohio State around the country. And we also have other type of programs that kind of do the same thing, a society program. And the society programs are those programs that have similar interests together. For instance, we have a dental society which get together, and they do things as well as far as raising money for the university and raising money for scholarships. They do things in the name of Ohio State to further and advance Ohio State in different ways, but it's a way to keep people of similar interests together talking about Ohio State and doing good works for Ohio State. We just this last year, about the last year and a half, we just opened up an Office of Career Management. We really felt a need for alumni to have a place to come to help them in their job searches and career decisions. And we opened that up, the Bill and Susan Loda Office of Career Management, and it's going extremely well. We're very, very proud of that. We're in the process of getting ready to open up an Office of Volunteer Relations. That's an area that I think is badly needed here at Ohio State. We want to be able to track our volunteers and be able to give our volunteers options to volunteer in certain situations, and we want to be able to keep to track of all those types of things. And so I'm really excited about that. We're in search of a leader for that office right now, as a matter of fact, and it's something that's really going to be exciting for the Alumni Association and the university.
We've been talking to Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner and current president of the Alumni Association at Ohio State. Mr. Griffin, thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you having me.
So the NCAA tournament is over, Thomas. Our attention now turns to spring football, the
football
spring
time.
Game, the OSU spring game this Saturday. A lot of interesting storylines. I guess first off, we should say starting quarterback Braxton Miller is not playing, so all the backup quarterbacks will get reps. JT Barrett, I assume, is second in. He's penciled in at number two right now. Cardale Jones at three, or Cardale Jones making the progress to be number two?
Other way around, it's Cardale Jones right now at the number two spot, and he started that way in the spring season. A lot of people were guessing that JT Barrett's talent would take over in front of Cardale Jones, but honestly, I've been to a couple practices. Cardale Jones is impressing the coaches, and with Braxton Miller kind of taking a coaching role, He's going to be the first picked quarterback for the spring game, that's for sure.
Cardale Jones is a grown man. Also on offense, the receiver position, something that's been a little weak in recent years at OSU, at least I think, looks pretty good this year. Johnny Dixon, Dontre Wilson, Devin Smith, Evan Spencer.
Yeah, a lot of talent at the receiver position. Jalen Marshall, who is actually out with injury now, he went down halfway through spring practice, but he was looking really good at the beginning of spring practice. Devin Smith is a returning starter, and Dontre Wilson moving from that running back to the full-time slot receiver position.
He's kind of a hybrid, though, still, right? Like Corey Brown, Philly Brown, he'll take some handoffs?
I'm going to guess he's going to start. I'm not a coach, but he's going to start out wide and come through and take some handoffs in the backfield, but he's going to try to be a full-time receiver this year.
And also Corey Smith, the junior college transfer, who I guess his talent is just out of this world.
Corey Smith's talent is very good. I'd like to see him give a little extra effort in practice. We've seen all these guys take some plays off and play some plays incredibly. It just looks like Corey Smith has something to prove this spring game, and I'm excited for what he'll be able to do Saturday if he puts all his effort in.
A lot of competition to catch balls at OSU this year. Not as much competition, it looks like, at running back. It seems to be pretty settled. Ezekiel Elliott has the starting job locked up, at least at this point.
I think, he's got it locked up. We're going to see a lot of carries from Briante Dunn, and we'll see some from Rod Smith. But Ezekiel Elliott will be out there, first-team offense, and he should get the bulk for the season, pending something crazy happening.
Looking to the defense now, D-line, probably the most stacked unit on the team at this point.
It's the best unit on the team. Coach Larry Johnson's coming in from Penn State, and he's just got this team, or this unit, ready to go. They're going to be a nightmare for opposing quarterbacks, and they're going to be a great run-stopping defensive line. I'm excited for what this defense can do. They really need to turn around from what they did last year. Not just the defensive line, but the whole defensive unit has a lot to prove, and it's going to start at the spring game.
And they really have three guys who I would assume could at least be candidates to be All-Americans: Michael Bennett, mm-hmm. Adolphus Washington, and Noah Spence. Especially Washington and Noah Spence, if they can really make that leap. These guys are top-flight recruits. And you saw flashes of it with Spence last year at times, but I really want to see the whole thing.
You're forgetting one big name on the defensive line, too.
I'm sure I am.
It's Joey Bosa.
Joey Bosa
is a beast. Like you mentioned, Adolphus Washington, he'll be solid. Joey Bosa and Noah Spence are going to be nightmares. They're going to be dreaming of Joey Bosa and Noah Spence.
Oh, man, you got me excited already. Chris Ash running that defense along with Luke Fickell. This is not football-related necessarily, but a lot of the players on the OSU team we've seen in practice recently running the fastest man on campus competition.
As part of Student Appreciation Day, Urban Meyer had a little fun game for the 60,000-plus students on campus, and he said, if you think you're the fastest student on campus, come on down to the practice facility, and we're going to time your 40 time. And he's going to take the best group of those students, and he's going to race Dontre Wilson. There's going to be three or four students, maybe five. I'm not really sure. They haven't officially announced it yet, but they're going to be racing Dontre Wilson for the fastest man on campus, and I'd be surprised if Dontre Wilson loses that. He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen.
And that will do it for this week's episode of After the Score. You can always find the show using the WOSU Public Media mobile app and on iTunes.
And you can find us on Twitter @AfterTheScore. Until next week, I'm Thomas Bradley.
And I'm Steve Brown.